Yes, we did mention it a couple of times on the show today, but of course it is Whoopi Goldberg's 61st birthday and we're wishing her a very happy birthday here.
What about Kamal?
That's Kamal's birthday too.
How old's he?
Why are people so unkind?
How old would Kamal be?
I don't know. Hang on, I'll check.
What was Kamal actually good for? He came from Sri Lanka and did a Dilmati ad. What else did he do?
He had a number of singles. Yeah, he was a lounge singer when that was big. I saw him at the Big Day Out once. Remember when they had him at the, what the crazy bit of the Big Day Out used to be called? The Lily Pad.
What, just making fun of him? Or
No. People were having a good old time because it was like people would go out and go crazy and then they would come back and sort of chill out and he was there. It was really good. It was good fun.
Right.
Yes. Anyway, Shurooks. Rate the Shurooks from 1 to 4.
I wonder if the Shurooks have ever got their clothes caught on anything in the kitchen.
They're one of the families in Family Food Fight. No one gives a toss about the Family Food Fight 9.
They kind of look nice. They look like a friendly bunch.
They seem like nice people.
Do, yes.
Don't
all the
they?
People seem nice. But you know, the show's not working, you'd have to say.
Yeah, I would have to say that too. And Kamal's 82, by the way. Just saying. And he did the elephant song.
What's the elephant song?
I have no idea, but that was one of his greatest.
I'll come, Mr. Tallyman, tally my bananas. No, it's the banana song. what's the elephant song?
I don't know.
Hello, the elephants.
Plenty of sport on the show today.
You're not allowed
to
do accents anymore, are you?
No, you're not. No,
I used to work with Greg Ritchie. He used to be good at them.
Plenty of Socceroos work, some rugby league
get
world
trouble
cup, and where you can get your hemp burgers in Brisbane. I think it's Robin.
Oh my God, off your rockers!
Robin's birthday or something as well.
What is it with hemp burgers though? You give it one, and then it's like Chinese. Oh, I'm hungry again. I've got the munchies. Well, give me another burger.
Kamal, the elephant song. Here we go.
Here we go.
Get on with it.
Jeez.
There we go.
Elephants.
Jesus Christ.
That's more than 10 seconds. We'll have to pay Kamal money.
Yes, we will. You can get that on iTunes right now for $1.99.
Yeah. None of us knew that at all. Like, there was
he's
no
he based his whole career on that?
I think so.
Nah, the Dilmor ad pad better.
Enjoy the catch up.
For Mercedes-Benz Brisbane's 13% off for 13 days only. Conditions apply. See mbbrisbane.com.au.
Okay, so I had an absolutely wonderful afternoon yesterday afternoon. Went to a day on the green to see Stevie Nicks and the Pretenders. And it was a kind of windy, blowy day. We were worried that the rain might come, but it stayed away and had lots of hats on. And
Can I just check, Stevie, wear a lot of seersucker long dress, long flowing dress?
I wouldn't
dress.
Say seersucker. I would
you don't
say...
see a lot of skin on Stevie.
No, she likes to cover herself up. And yeah. And the audience was really eclectic. There were lots of kind of Stevie goths. And then there were some old rockers. And then there were young people like me who were just keen for a wine on a Sunday and some good entertainment.
Love that. A lot of flowers plaited into
hair.
Yeah,
kind of that sort of vibe. Yeah. Anyway, I got chatting to a fella
Stevie.
Called Ian, who's a carpenter and a tradie, and we were bonding over
hats.
How
old was Ian?
Ian was probably in his 40s, a couple of young kids. Really nice fella. Anyway, my hat kept blowing off and we were joking about it. And he was saying to me that as a tradie, he used to wear a big straw hat because he's very sun smart, but it had one of those ties on the bottom of it.
Yeah, with a toggle on him. Yeah.
Until he had a bit of an accident where he was lifting a hammer and he said, if I had tried to do this 1,000 times, I wouldn't have been able to on purpose. But he accidentally, as he brought the hammer down, connected it.
Oh, so he was swinging the hammer?
Yep, swinging it, bringing it down, accidentally connected with the tie underneath the hat.
Oh, the claw grabbed hold of that.
He didn't realise, smacked it into the piece of wood, brought his head down and half knocked himself out. Now, I'm trying not to laugh.
That's spectacular.
It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
If that doesn't make you wear a cap, I don't know what does.
But I'm guessing that, you know, particularly tradespeople, but just any run-of-the-mill human, things get caught.
Can I tell you, of course you wear loose-fitting shirts, but one day I was drilling through the top plate, that's the wall, okay, before you put the stuff on the outside and inside of your walls, okay, on your house, drilling down, okay, for a tie-down, and my drill, big drill bit, like 12 millimetre, that big, auger bit, it grabbed hold of my loose part of my shirt and drilled me and I followed the hole down my whole shirt, went down through the hole in the pond and I was
stuck by
my chest, stuck to the top plate and we had to
stand
there.
Were you all right though?
It was very embarrassing because someone had to come up and get a Stanley knife and cut my shirt off and it stayed up there and then you had to pull all the drill bits out. I've also had a shirt stuck in a planer. pulling
apart.
Taking the top off the timber, just little level bits off the timber. That got caught in my shirt, then shredded my whole shirt. Same thing. That could have.
It's bad. You could have got stuck or
could have lost a nipple.
Or your fur on your chest. Yes.
This is what happens. Things get caught. This is why most carpenters don't wear wedding rings because they get caught. Bits of you get caught on things. See? And it's really dangerous.
Women's clothes would get caught on and hats and
I'm just trying to think
when you're
about
out,
that.
Like bags and all that. That would definitely happen.
And I wear lots of jewellery and you often kind of snag yourself on something.
That's what I'm talking about here, snagging. I love seeing girls. I love driving along and you go past the girl's car and their dress is out.
Oh,
like they don't realise
they've
closed the door and part of their car. That's what you're wearing.
That's it. Come on.
I love it when things get caught.
Tell us your story. I'll try not to laugh.
When a piece of your clothing got caught?
Well, you get caught on something,
Jewellery. Clothing, jewellery, hats, nose rings.
Barbed wire, nose rings.
When
nose
did rings. You snag yourself?
Jonathan of Hillcrest. Oh, no, you've got a story about your grandmother.
Yeah, look, many years ago, my grandmother was being dropped off at church by my grandfather, and she was about 80 and couldn't walk so well. So he parked at the front so she could get out, and she got out, slammed the door, shut her dress in the door.
Oh,
when my grandfather took off to park the car, he dragged her along beside the car.
Oh, bad snagging. Bad granddad. Granddad.
Oh, no, please tell me she was okay.
Look, she was okay. She was more embarrassed, I think, because it was in front of everybody at church and her dress was torn.
Did they see her bloomers, John?
Oh, look, I don't know. I wasn't there.
You don't go to church after that, do you? Don't you just go home?
Oh, yeah, of course you do. Still got to rise up like Jesus. You rise.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. I'm up.
Thank you, Jonathan. Alan of Alimba, Wagga Court.
Hello, Alan. It's Alan here from Limba.
My name's Ed. Marto's here.
Lucky we're not live. Let's take two. Hi, Alan from Bulimba. Oh, we are live.
Oh, yes.
Oh, well.
Hey, Al. What went well on?
Okay, Marto's going to help us with this. You know a standard Marto on trusses, scaffolding, then you had the ledger, and then you had the transom. Someone's taken the ledgers out. The planks have given way. I was a first-year apprentice. Where do you go when the planks come out from under you? Straight down.
Ooh.
I'm trying to grab anything.
On your
fall. My shoelaces, when you're falling, my shoelaces get caught round the square bit that sticks out where the ledger clicks in. So I'm upside down. Three guys come and grab me.
Oh.
And then they're just trying to untake my shoelaces off the thing. And it was
so
just
your
one of those
shoelaces lucky. Held up your body weight?
Well, because your foot was caught on the shoelaces, your actual ankle wrapped round the corner where the ledger and the transom meet. So
you were upside down at that stage.
Yeah, you can visualise it. When you're falling, what do? You're grabbing for anything.
Anything.
Because they took the two ledges out, the ones that go lengthwise.
Yeah, the horizontal.
My foot, as I'm falling down, I'm just going, oh, this is not going to be good. Because your foot's still up half on because you've stepped onto something you think safe and it's been removed, you go.
Down you go. But that saved you, right? That snagging saved you, Alan. That's a good snagging story.
Well, that's what the boys told me. Said I fell seven flights of scaffolding and landed in a sandpit, old Maxi. But, it was one of those lucky days where luck's with you.
Okay, there you go. And
good
really
snagging.
Good shoelaces.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Actually, that's true. Keep refreshing your shoelaces in case you need it.
You may need them.
Right.
Now, Simon is
Alan
also from Alimba.
Down a bit, didn't he?
Yeah.
This is happening a lot in Alimba. Simon, was this a mate of yours? What got caught?
G'day, mate. This was actually a mate of mine many years ago. Everything on his left side was gone, his ear, his leg. He'd had a few. He was accident-prone. If it wasn't for bad luck, he'd have no luck at all.
Yeah.
But one day he's drilling a bit of architrave to put around a door, the door trim, and he's drilling away, and he's got the architrave down near his crutch.
Yeah,
now,
indeed.
Unfortunately, the drill bit went straight through the architrave and straight into his left testicle. He said, Simon, he said, geez, it hurt going in, but I had to put it in reverse to pull it out. His nickname was Lucky.
Yeah.
It could have been Skewer.
Could he hang his keys off it after that? Was there like a little hole there?
He was coming up the side of the building on the scaffold because he had his left leg removed in a car accident. So,
Hold on. He was a one-legged construction worker.
One-legged, one-eared, Chippy because he got his left ear bitten off with a fight with his brother. So everything left was gone. He was lucky to keep his left arm.
Sorry, you said that earlier, but we didn't have any relativity.
Oh, wow.
Well thank
what
you.
A man.
Sharia Boondall, what have you got snagged on?
Well, I was wearing my strapless maxi dress on an escalator near Maya one day and it got caught in the bottom and I had to be cut free from security.
Oh, no. It didn't just rip straight off like in a Benny Hill sketch?
Yeah, it was a tad embarrassing.
How long were you there? How long were you stuck there? Cherie, how long were you stuck there, you poor thing?
About 15 minutes whilst they cut me free.
Well, why did you need to get cut off? Why wouldn't you just have stepped out out of the dress?
I sort of didn't have a bra on at the time, so I had to hold on to the top of the dress.
What is sort of didn't have one on? You either did or you didn't.
You didn't, but if it was strapless and it was probably elasticated around the boob area, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Did it?
Yeah, Robin, you got it.
Did it come down as it got pulled?
Yeah, I was unlucky enough to have my foot in plaster at the time, so I was leaning on one leg.
Oh,
and that's why the dress got caught.
Yeah, it was hanging low.
Yeah.
Oh,
hanging low.
Do anyone get any photos?
Stop it.
But my husband at the time did an evacuation to Maya and couldn't come back because the crowd was a bit embarrassed.
Oh, didn't want to be associated with you.
Very supportive. Thank you, Cherie.
I'm feeling for you. Some security guards would have been laughing at that one.
Sean of Biwa, what happened?
All right. Speaking about embarrassment, I drive large excavators for a living, and I had to jump out of the cab one day fairly quickly, you know, to grab something. And my pants, my shorts got hooked on the left control lever.
Yeah. Oh, no.
It didn't just rip, it stayed. And I hung out the window, my head went down towards the track. I actually couldn't get off the handle. The door was still loose and it was swinging around, smacking me in the head. I had to get the boys to come over to actually lift me off the lever and get me back on the ground.
Moving the lever didn't operate. It didn't mean the machine started moving, did it?
No, we've got a dead man.
A
lever that comes up to get out. If you do bump the lever, it still was rather embarrassing.
That's fantastic, Sean.
Wonderful.
That's fantastic.
I hope the boys got a photo.
Oh, look, I'm sure someone has somewhere.
Someone's in the collection.
Thanks, Sean. Oh, and Lisa.
Yeah, hi. I just thought I'd quickly tell you, I lived in Scotland for a long time and I had friends that were fishing trawlers. You know, they had fishing trawlers and on the North Sea, which is bitterly cold. A friend of mine recently got married, a guy, and he had a new wedding ring on, and they throw these giant nets out the back of these fishing trawlers, and his wedding ring actually got caught in
got
the net.
Snagged,
like the cold alone would kill you, and he had to make a quick decision. It was either his life or cut off his finger, and he actually cut off his finger and let his finger go with the wedding ring. But
is that what he told his wife happened?
Exactly, right.
Yeah, so he cut his own finger off to avoid getting dragged into the North Sea in a freezing cold net.
Oh, God.
And I don't know, maybe this is the wrong thing to ask, but when the net came back up, had they caught anything with his finger?
Well, he didn't save. I don't think so, because if he did get his ring back, how the hell is he going to wear that again?
Yeah, cut your own finger off.
It was a quick decision by his part, though. I mean, you know, it would have been one of those big knives that you use on the fish.
Yeah, God,
yeah.
Well, Lisa, it's the old saying, it's the fingers that John West reject.
Yeah, they make them so good.
Holy
very
moly.
Good. That was very quick.
Oh, you win. Morning. You win, Lisa.
The 13th of November, it's somebody's birthday, Robin.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Yeah. The Ramones.
Wow, I'm on Triple M, aren't I? That's the first time ever I've had that song on my birthday. Thanks, guys. I didn't know you remembered or knew. Hey, that's very kind.
Plus, we've also got someone on the line. Because we've had people ring your morning wishing you a happy birthday. Who's that, Stu from...
Happy birthday.
Oh, it's your ex-boyfriend, Stu from Bourke.
It's your ex-boyfriend, Stu, here from when you used to do... What was that radio station in Bourke called when you worked there?
TWEB.
TWEB. Hey, how are you?
Oh, poor Stu. Hey.
Did you get my present I sent?
No, I didn't.
Oh, what? I said it was. It's a life-size model of you and I made out of hay. Do you know what I mean? Do you remember when you and I used to roll in the hay, Robin? Do you remember?
Yeah, it's Stu.
Yeah, I still got scratches on my backside from the hay, do you know what I mean?
Stu, you don't seem to open your mouth a lot when you talk.
Shut up. Shut up, you. Because of the flies. You keep your hands off my woman, okay? Whatever your name is. Okay, I'll let you know. I'm a farmer. Okay, I've got a lot of serious equipment. Hey, Robin.
Yes, Stu.
Robin, do you remember our song, Abracadabra? Do you remember our song?
Yeah, I do.
Do you remember what we used to say when we were sitting on the back of a tractor just dreaming about how our life would be together? We'd say, Abracadabra, and then you'd say...
I want to reach out and grab you.
You know what I mean? And I'd say, that's not the gear stick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay, Stu.
Oh,
there it is. They're playing our song.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, it was many, 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 many years ago. Yes,
well,
Stu.
Hang on, tell me like that. Everything old is new again. Do you know what I mean? Robin.
Stu, did you ever get married?
Yes, I married a horse. And and she left me. I got to go.
Thank you. Bye.
That's...
Oh, boys.
Wow. He sounds
Thanks
a bit lonely, doesn't he?
Yeah, he really so, does.
Happy birthday from Stu. I thought you'd like that. Marto, Ed and Robin, Triple M.
Adam McDougall is the Health Hacker.
Health hacking is simply hacking into the tools, tricks and routines of the healthiest, happiest and most successful people in the world and applying these little tricks and routines into your own life. I'm a health hacker because I've been a professional athlete for 20 years, but I've also combined my experience as an athlete with my university studies, from economics to nutrition and sports science, with the practical application that I achieved as an athlete to help people hack into their health. In each episode, I'm going to share with you the tools, tricks and routines of the healthiest, happiest and most successful people in the world. You can hack into your own health and live a happier and healthier life.
The Health Hacker with Adam McDougall. Listen now at podcastone.com.au or download the Podcast One app.
Marto, Ed and Robbins, Sports All In.
I'll tell you what, before we go into the big, big sports, there was a couple of clashes on last night. Both of them were hard to understand. The international rules, Australia v Ireland, was
good
one
game.
And the other one was the wall against family food fight. Had no idea what was going on there at all on either show. My God.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, they, Socceroos, now this Wednesday is the return league against Honduras. Winner goes to the World Cup, loser doesn't. And we have to win now, Robin, because of the away goals ruled. I won't bore you with that, but we
have
to win.
What happens if it's nil all? Can I just ask?
Nil all. We keep going to extra time. Nil all is the only draw result, which means that it keeps going. Any draw with a score in it, Honduras wins.
Gotcha.
But so basically, we have to win. We had a hat full of chances.
Why are they doing this? They do this all the time.
Who, the Socceroos?
Yes. You
can't score.
No, they got a problem up front, but. If we can, we should be able to beat Honduras at home on Wednesday night in Sydney. So let's hope. Yes.
What was the Mozzie noise the whole game?
I think it's his little. I think it was little
mouth
horns
things
that the Hondurans had, but I couldn't tell. I was like you. I was looking for it. I think, God, that's annoying.
Yeah, well, Kath and I were having a look, and may I mention, I stopped our world for between 8 and quarter to 10 on Saturday morning to watch that game.
And Kath
was so disappointed. She did have a suggestion for soccer, though. It was her first ever full soccer game.
Oh, good. Okay, what was it?
Don't let those blokes, the guy in the pink and the guy in the black, touch the ball anymore. Goalkeepers, Gonski. How good would it be?
Goalies.
We would actually score some goals. She figured out if that bloke up the other end, the black guy in the black outfit, and then we had the pink guy, if they couldn't touch the ball, Kath's going to change the game.
Look, it's certainly a revolution. It's like when the boy at the rugby school picked up the ball and ran with it, Marto.
William Webellis, 1824.
I shouldn't have brought that up. Let's talk about the Rugby League World Cup, because three teams scored no points over the weekend. PNG beat the USA 64-0. Ireland beat Wales. Well, they got six. They got 34-6. And England beat France 36-6. So those that say that this is a one-sided competition are clearly wrong, Robin.
I'll never forget the USA team. I'll never forget the
Neither
USA
will I. They're the Tomahawks?
Yes, they used to be. They weren't openly calling themselves the Tomahawks.
You can't do that anymore. Tell us, Marto, what on earth is going on? Why did Samoa lose two games but draw one?
Because they were in a different group. They decided that in one group, the group that Samoa and Tonga and New Zealand were in, three teams were allowed to. This is before the tournament started. Three teams out of the four go through to the quarterfinals. Whereas the island side of the draw, in their section, they scored two wins, you had to win three. Yeah, you had to win three games to get through in their group.
So that's so crazy. Why wouldn't you even just have a playoff?
Because we didn't have enough teams. Because some of the groups only had three teams, some of the groups had four teams. So
that's infuriating. It just seems like they're matching it or something.
There's
or
just
fixing
not enough
it.
Teams playing rugby league, and that's the Rugby League World Cup for you.
Okay. Bless.
Oh, bless.
Elise Perry, quick word on Elise Perry. We'll talk about a little bit about a little bit later on, but 213 not out in the Women's Ashes, but England managed to hold on for a draw. I'm going to play you some audio, I think, tomorrow. This has come out from Graham Swan in the BBC over the weekend where he describes the Gabba. He uses the word feral, and he takes it from there.
Feral?
Yeah, I'll give it to you tomorrow.
Actually, that's like reminds me of Mansour, you know, the Australian the Kangaroos winger. Mm. Yeah. He's previously played three tests for Lebanon. Did you see how much he was booed on Friday on Saturday night?
Might just be him.
It's like he was stealing people's kebabs. Every time he touched the ball, he got a
booed.
Ah, that's fun. Wonderful. That's good. Yep.
Can we quickly talk bin chickens, if that's all right?
Bin chickens. What's a bin chicken?
Come on, Robin. Come on.
Worst birds in Australia.
Oh, ibis.
The ibis. Yep, that's the one.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Dump birds, whatever you want to call them.
Okay, fair enough. Yep.
All right, so I'm at Nudgee Dump the other day. Remember, we've spoken about Nudgee Dump before.
It picking is, up or dropping off?
I was dropping off. I was dropping off. I remember the old days when you used to be able to walk across. Have I ever told you those days when we grew up? I grew up at West Chermside, and Nev James, I don't know if I can say his name, he used to run the dump, and we were allowed to go out there any time, and he'd bring stuff home for bikes, and every kid in the neighbourhood had stuff. But you could walk out over the dump, like you could just walk out.
I picked up a 1930s cot. A wrought iron cot from the dump out of
Wirrawong.
Wirrawong. That's it. I know.
That's a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 20-odd years ago.
Oh, you know what happens now? Oh, this was where I meant to talk. I was going to talk about dump birds, ibises. But, you know, they all send them out to Endeavour. You know, they're really well organised at the dump at the moment.
They are now.
I was at Capera Dump yesterday, but Thursday I was at Nudgee Dump.
Look at you, dump guy.
I love the dump.
What have you got to dump so much?
Well, gardening and hedging, a whole load, like 120.
That goes in the river.
Hey? Just hose it onto the street, you reckon?
Look right, at you, though. You're like a dealer. You're going to different dumps in case you have too much stuff.
No, I had to drop one of the kilos. Anyway, it's a long story. Yesterday I dumped 900 kilos of stuff at the dump.
What?
Wow. 900 kilos. Had rocks and concrete and these
rocks.
Huge trees, like a tree like this. It was like strongest man competition. Anyway, don't sidetrack me. I was at Nudgee the other day and the ibis is there. And we've spoken about
too
it before.
Many, mate.
It had to be 2,000.
Yep.
How do you count ibises? Because they don't come in through the bloody gate.
What were they doing just eating?
They're
eating
just hanging around and they just dive down into the pit. Yuck. And I mentioned this to Brenda just before and he said, well, why are they, if it's such joy and it's the buffet out there, like that is just free food. That's a cruise, okay? It's open all the time and you're just diving down into the pit and grabbing food. Why do they bother coming in here when no one likes them at South Bank?
Makes sense.
It's a great question.
Well, that's their holiday destination.
That's where they go. It's right to get away from it all.
It's all work out, Nudgee. Oh, where are you going? Going into South Bank for the weekend. Eat some kebabs.
That's it.
It's Marto and Robin on Triple M.
I'm not meaning to scare anyone with this information, but it is a true fact that today is 6 weeks exactly until Christmas Day.
6 weeks. So it's on a Monday, Christmas
Yes,
Day.
It is.
That's interesting for people. But tell us what you're telling me before.
I've done all my Christmas shopping.
How can you have done all your Christmas shopping?
That's just shocking, man. All of it.
Well, pretty much.
Now, so if Christmas was today, you'd be fine.
I'd be so sorted. But partly because I'm one of these people that like to... one of my love languages is gift giving, so
What's
I really
love
care.
Language?
We can have that conversation another time.
No, I don't think so. Go to another radio station.
No. I think you'd learn something. Anyway, one of them is gift giving. So I really care what people get as gifts. It's really important to me that I get the right thing.
Oh.
So when I find something that's perfect for someone, I'll buy it then and there because I know that it's perfect.
How many people you got to buy for?
Oh, a fair few. Got three kids, mum, sister, her two sons.
Where do you draw the line? Where do you draw the line?
With what?
Like who gets one, who doesn't? So,
okay. So I've now got to the point because it's getting a bit out of hand. My godchildren do, but their parents don't.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
So,
okay, yep.
Yeah, my and then there's the thing is if you're spending Christmas with someone, then they'll get a present, but normally they wouldn't. So this year is an off year, so we're not actually having Christmas with all of our extended family, so that helps me a bit.
All right. Well, how would you go if you were like me on one side, there's like,
you've got 700.
And then on our side, we'll just have a simple one. There'll only be about 20. We have Secret Santa.
Oh, that's good.
But Kath then goes over the top and she'll buy the Secret Santa that we're assigned to, and then she'll get all these other bonus presents. And everyone goes, I thought we were just doing Secret Santa.
I know. Well, I've got a Christmas box. So I have presents in there in case someone gives me something and I need to reciprocate.
Hold on, Ed's got something like, Ed's got a wife and mother-in-law, same thing, they just buy presents for people.
They can't help it. They can't help themselves.
But they've got spare presents.
Yeah, me too. I got a box. I got a Christmas box. And so there's things in there that you can, like candles, which can go to anyone, male or female.
What if they just come over?
Men get a candle.
Sometimes. I've got male candles and female candles.
Oh. What's a male candle?
Well, it's just more kind of like sandalwood and more sort of male smelling.
What's a female one then?
Oh, they're more kind of petunias and...
Have you ever been in a men's dressing room?
Yes, I have. I was in the Tigers dressing room
once. Has it ever smelled like sandalwood to you?
Well, no, but it should. Oh, my God, if only they had
sandalwood danker rub.
Yes.
Oh, my God, there's something, isn't it?
Anyone else started this nonsense? Is there anyone else in the world who...
What page is that in the paper?
Can I just check then? I'm assuming that all four men in the room right now, all four of you, including our producer, Scott, none of you have done your Christmas shopping. Is that what I'm taking? From this?
No. Not one.
Not a jot.
Not one?
Nothing.
So when did Christmas start for you then? What date did you start Christmas shopping?
Boxing Day last year.
Good Lord.
See this bloke here, page 9 of the Courier Mail. If you get hold of the Courier Mail, they're putting up Christmas decorations. That bloke there, that's just around the corner. I didn't realise he was that outstanding that he'd make the paper.
Okay.
He's been gone. I reckon he started about 3 weeks ago and the garage was open all weekend pulling stuff out, boxes out.
See, boys, you've still got time. You can aspire to be this good.
Has Christmas started for anybody out there? Have you bought any presents?
Full
have
on, these these people wearing their Christmas shirts already.
Oh, well,
and
that's a bit
Santa
early.
Hats.
Yeah, I'd wait for that.
You're someone who's bought all your Christmas presents and you're judging him.
And I am so proud of it.
Is this Danny from Strathpine? Danny, now, what stage are you at with your Christmas shopping?
Oh, I'm finished and it's wrapped, but only because... I hate the crowds and I hate the screaming kids who just don't want to be shopping with mum and dad, so they're screaming the place down.
Danny, when did you go? When did you do all this?
I finished back in October.
And she's wrapped them. That's impressive.
Oh, you haven't wrapped yours,
Robert? I hate wrapping.
You haven't wrapped yours,
Robert? No, I haven't wrapped mine yet. My wrapping is a Christmas Eve activity. But
Danny, how many people did you buy for? Is it 6, 8, 27?
No, sir. I did 30 because I've also done the wishing Christmas tree for, Smith Kids Appeal?
Yeah. Came out wishing tree.
Oh, you're beautiful.
Yeah, the wishing trees. Yes, I did for that as well.
Got the Christmas tree up yet?
Yep, it's up.
Oh. Well, you better start getting ready for Easter, Danny.
Did Danny just say she wins?
I've got a 21st to do before Christmas too, so.
How old are you?
Oh, I'm 37, but my eldest son's turning 21 next week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow.
No, Danny said her tree was up and twinkling.
Oh, twinkling. I thought she said I won.
Well done, Danny.
You are incredible, Danny.
Mark of Eaton's Hill.
Yeah, g'day. How you going?
Christmas started for you, mate.
Yeah, not started. I've done my shopping and I've got stuff in lay-by, so I haven't picked it up yet.
Do they still do lay-by?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
W and all that, so the toys for the kids nice and cheap. But Christmas shouldn't start until the 13th of December.
13th?
Why the 13th?
Well, you know the song, The 12 Days of Christmas?
Oh.
There you go.
Oh, that's not bad.
That's very clever.
Thank you, Mark.
And
I don't think the retailers would be happy. Yeah, the retailers don't want to hear Mark's song, that's for sure.
No. Who's that? Susie, is it?
Casey of Petrie.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Yeah, great.
Where are you at with your Christmas shopping?
Well, it's actually my mum. She can kind of anywhere from 12 to 16 months before Christmas, she can have presents sorted.
What? Hang on.
Where is she going?
Where does she get 12 months in advance? Where would she get a present?
Well, I don't know. Like, if she's got something for the year coming up, she can put it aside for the next year.
Where did she hide all this stuff?
She has a little wardrobe, a section of a wardrobe that she keeps it in. So, yeah.
What if she buys you an iPhone? By the time Christmas comes around, it's out of date. She's going to go and get another one.
You're never that lucky to get an iPhone.
No, you're not getting an iPhone.
Okay, so tell me, what sort of stuff does she buy?
Oh, kind of bits and bobs. I suppose things not necessarily much over, like, $50. But if she used to do, like, Avon, she'd get stuff from Avon and she'd keep that. And it's like, oh, hey, it'd be perfect for this person if she needed a present.
When does Christmas really start in terms of Christmas tree and getting excited?
Oh, we don't necessarily do Christmas tree that much. But definitely in December, I mean, because it's also her birthday a couple of days before Christmas as well. So December can be a pretty exciting month.
There you go.
I'm trying to cut back. I'm trying to, as you know, Marto, I've been trying to shrink my present field for a number of years. So I'm trying to, Robin, I'm trying to cut out like uncles and aunties. And every time I do it, when we come around to Christmas, I'll turn around and Tiff will have some giant thing that she's wrapping. I say, what's that? Who's that for?
Defiance.
She'll be like, oh, it's for my auntie Barb. I said, we said we weren't going to get her a present. And she always says the same thing. This one's just from me. So I don't go, yeah, exactly. So I want to put my name on a card. I got to fork out some money.
Yeah, that seems fair.
Bloody Christmas.
Bloody Christmas. Humbug.
It's Marto and Robin on Triple M.
The following is an official announcement from the Australian government.
Over the past few years, thought crime has reached record levels. Subversion is rife. Our enemies are everywhere.
Trust no one.
Luckily, there is an answer.
Peter Dutton.
No, not Peter Dutton.
Thank God.
Introducing a new series on Podcast One that interrogates the real threats to Australia, like John Safran, Rob Sitch, and children's author Andy Griffiths.
Oh, God, I love those Treehouse books.
Who will survive? Who will fail? Introducing Extreme Vetting with The Chaser.
The Chaser.
The only show with the power of life and death over its guests.
Listen at podcast1.com.au or via the Podcast One app.
Move towards healthier eating. The plant-based cafes, they're popping up around Brisbane. There's one that's a lot of plants called Fundies around me in Paddington, but there's another one that's just going even more hardcore. Have you ever been in a place, Robin, which is completely plant-based?
Have I been in a place that is completely plant-based? I don't think I have.
No, well, you got teenage boys. They've got no interest.
No, none. In fact, I would never even look in the doorway.
Yeah. I never have, but I see they've just approved hemp-based products.
I'm glad you bring this up.
To be eaten by Australians just in the last few days.
Yes, it is. Hemp is on the menu, and I tell you, the waitresses, well, let's let the waitresses at the plant-based cafes describe the hemp themselves.
It's really high in omegas. It's really high in protein. It's just an all-round amazing superfood.
You in yet? Because the last superfood, were you on the quinoa train, Greg?
No, I missed that. But I missed a few things. Like I missed Twitter.
You're on the blueberry, which is a superfood.
Yeah, raspberries, that's me.
Okay. Well,
I like the sound of this. If we're picking some weed from the devil's garden.
Oh, no. It's not that. It's the non-THC base. Well, it is more from the waitress.
You can build with hemp. You can make concrete. You can make clothes. You can make plastic. And you can eat it. So
concrete.
Really excited about hemp all around.
Concrete?
Yeah, concrete. It's like a gingerbread house. It's like what that woman had to lure Hansel and Gretel. What type of pundits do you think they got there, Robin? Tradies?
No.
Bricklayers?
No,
boxers?
No.
Well, here's one. Let's say this young man.
It was absolutely delicious. Yeah, best burger I've ever had, probably. It's really good. This one's actually almost like pulled pork.
Yeah, it's almost like pulled pork in the fact that there's no pork in it. And that when you get it, you want to pull the waitress close to you and say, where the hell is the meat?
The real stuff?
Get me out of here.
Did you see her drag race? It was pony power. It was pink and...
How old was she? I think she was eight. Well, hang on, Claire from our newsrooms.
Hi, Claire.
Good morning. Yep, eight-year-old Anita Board, that's right. So just turned eight on Thursday was her birthday. Part of a big drag racing family. Mum and dad both get behind the wheel. Older sister, a couple of years older than her, also gets behind the wheel.
A couple of years older.
So Anita basically was racing on the weekend. She was participating in what she does to get her license. So believe it or not, at eight, 8 years old nationally across Australia. That is the age limit for getting a drag racing licence. So Anita was participating. She actually was successful in completing what she needed to do to get that licence, but then for whatever reason ran into a cement wall and unfortunately...
So that run was actually the run to get the licence, but then after she'd done that, lost control.
Yeah, unfortunately, just as she came into the end there, so she was the only one on the track, no one else out there with her, and just as she finished off, she hit a cement wall and she died from her injuries.
She's eight. Can I just check, is her that I saw the little pink drag car, was that less power than surely that wasn't as 500-600 horsepower.
So this Pony Power is what she called her car. So it did have My Little Pony all over the side of it. Pink and purple. 210cc was the power of her car, and that's very standard for that age, is what we're told.
What does that mean?
So is there junior drag racing going on?
It's junior drag racing going on right across the country. Apparently a big sport. And see, the controversy today is a lot of people asking questions as to how it's possible for kids to be that age behind the wheel. But as her family and lots of families and lots of the drag racing community say, it's a sport like any sport. It comes with risks and they're well aware of that. Of course, it will be up to the coroner to decide now whether changes
happen.
It's
not like any sport, though, is it? It's not like any sport. If you're going to say it's like any sport, no, it's not. Because it's clearly more dangerous than any sport.
What about motocross? When are these kids doing motocross? They're doing that from six.
But this is the point. If you're allowed to get a licence based on the authority that are saying that if you want to do drag racing, you can get a licence at eight.
Yeah, true.
And I guess the other thing that I think is a bit harsh is that this family is being absolutely slammed on Facebook.
Oh, are they?
And at the end of the day...
I don't want to jump on there then.
They've lost their little girl.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. So you are seeing today on Facebook, I don't know if you'll see it in your feeds, but a lot of people changing their profile photo to My Little Pony characters and hashtag Pony Power for Anita because, it is a terrible time for her family. And for now, it'll be up to the coroner to decide whether any rules or anything would be changed. But 210cc car, totally legal. They go about 96 k's an hour. It's all very legal and all very normal.
So what, kids to do motocross, can they count? I know Pee-wee's 50cc, I'm talking motorbike. Can they ride things bigger than that? Like a 210cc is a powerful, fairly powerful motorbike. You're getting up around 250.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't
seem
like it goes that fast. Has there been anyone tell us how fast this drag car was going?
So this car, we don't know exactly how far Anita was going. The law and the rule, the national rule, is that drivers aged 8 to 10 cannot exceed 96 k's an hour. They do say, though, that the majority of kids don't go anywhere close to that. So whether Anita was going well under that will be up for the coroner.
Anyway, it's a very, very sad story. Thank you. Thanks, Claire.
Yes, good morning. It's 8:07. It's someone important's birthday today and a very happy birthday to Whoopi Gold. Berg. She is 61.
So is Kamal's birthday is today.
Kamal.
I know.
My goodness.
I share it with
so
the best
unkind.
Of people.
I think
and
it's your birthday.
Robert's birthday. Right. And Adam rang up to leave a message. He realised it was your birthday, Adam.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, him and his mates, Saturday afternoon.
Adam,
who?
Who's that?
That's Adam Blair. Thanks,
Adam.
Blair.
Thank you.
We do now go live, though. This is something we've been trying to tee up all morning, but their phones have been off, of course. Your three sons, Finn, Lewin, and Piper, I insisted that they come onto the radio today and say something nice to their mother on her birthday. And they're on the line at the moment. So who have we got there? How many? Just one of you? Who's there?
Well, they should all be in the car driving to school, so it'll be on speaker with any luck. And Finn, if your hands are on the wheel, don't talk. Hello, boys.
Hello. Morning.
Okay.
We're off to a terrible start.
Who wants to start this?
Yep.
Tribute. Yeah, I'll
start. That's Pipes.
Come on, Piper.
Going to say something nice to me, mate.
Hey, don't you say it. Don't you tell him what to say.
Come on, Piper.
Happy birthday, Mom.
Yep, that's good.
With an upward inflection in case that was wrong. Huh? Yep.
Yeah.
What else? What's not? What else?
Thank you for...
What?
Being my mum.
Yeah. She had no choice, though.
Jeez.
Going well so far.
Are you...
have you got your mum a present, boys?
Yes, we all have.
Oh.
Separately or together?
Separately.
Yeah. Oh.
Right. And who has the best present?
Me, of course.
Oh.
They know it too.
Are they wrapped and card written? Have you written a really long message on the card on how much you love her?
Yeah, they're all sitting on the table waiting for when she gets home.
Oh, that's lovely.
Well done, Finno. Where's Lewin? Lewin, I'm not hearing you.
Yeah, hello.
Okay. That's good. That's good for Lewin.
Come on, like say that. Something nice, Moo.
Come on, mate.
Happy birthday.
Oh. Yeah, the crowd's really not turning bad. You, Lewin.
It's not bad.
Okay, boys, thank you all very all right. much.
Have a great day.
Thank yeah. you.
Love you, boys. Have a gratitude. Good day.
Hang on, hang on.
Love you too.
You heard
Mom.
What she said, boys?
Yeah, I can't hear you.
Say, love you okay. too, Mum.
Love you too, Mum.
Wow, that must feel good. Oh my God. Must feel great.
Thanks for that. Awesome. Oh,
that's why you have three sons.
Yeah, that's it right there.
Will they be listening yeah. in the car on the way to school?
I don't know, nah. but I reckon their mates will be by now.
Should have told them it was Whoopi's birthday. They would have been really excited.
Up and about. I love Sister Act.
Oh, Whoopi? Marto and Robin on Brisbane's Triple M. All right.